You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald, and I have a very special guest here, one Mr. Caleb Porter. Caleb, go ahead and say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me, Donald. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to have you on. Excited to actually talk to you in person. I know, you know, we're friends. We've been friends for a while in a comic book group on Facebook, actually. That's how we met. And I know you're an avid comic fan, and I consider you a good friend now, especially because of our similar personalities and our love for the comic book genre.
Yeah, it kind of feels like when you see those pictures of people that have been playing video games for years on end, and then they finally meet each other. You know, like, right. I didn't go to high school with you, but you're hilarious. And yeah, we have a similar temperament on a lot of this. So long overdue.
But, you know, yeah, absolutely. Totally. And it reminds me, actually, when you mentioned that video game thing, of an episode of My Name is Earl, where like one of these guys, like somebody that he knew or treated poorly or something, passed away. And the kid didn't have any friends, and he was trying to get some people to come to his funeral. And he found out that while the kid didn't have any friends in real life, technically, in the video game world that he immersed himself in, he had a lot of friends that like knew him on there as this, you know, name in the video game world. So he reached out to them then, and then they came for the funeral, and it was this heartwarming tale.
I can already feel myself welling up.
So what I'm saying is,
either like I feel myself crying at the drop of a hat sometimes. I don't know what the hell happened to me, but it's getting away from me, you know.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that happens here at the Real Short Box, to be honest.
I believe it.
It happens quite a bit. So today we're going to be talking about a little bit off the beaten path, to be sure. But we're going to be talking about more of like a nostalgia thing of going back and getting comics that you missed the first time around.
Yes.
So this is like the second time around thing is what we're talking about. So stories that you missed and that you felt like you had to go back. And whether you missed it because you just didn't have the money as a kid or you weren't into it as a kid. And then when you got older, you got into it and then you or somebody mentioned it to you and you're like, I've never heard of this before. You know, what kind of stories inspired us to go back and reach out? So right off the bat, give me one of yours that you had to like seek back out and go, okay, I missed this one. I missed the boat on this one. I need to find this and read it.
Well, like the most prominent one for me would probably be Web of Spider-Man. Just like that nice sweet spot between, you know, like issue 7 through about like 30.
Yeah.
And I think I know how I got into it because there used to be an old book chain called Walden Books. And yes. I'm guessing Web of Spider-Man must have been near the bottom if you just go alphabetically. So it was probably at my height to grab it. But just, yeah, remembering so many stories from that. Like Peter David had a lot of stuff going on there. The covers were really iconic. My favorite for people at home, Web of Spider-Man number 25. It shows Black Spider-Man being in a bear hug by this like huge alien. And it's just so evocative when you're like, you know, 5, 6 and just the bright colors. So yeah, going back and seeing that because, you know, back in the day, comic books, you could read them without reading them. You know, because the art was so good that you could tell what the story was, you know?
Yeah,
so for me, it was nice to go back and actually read what I was, you know, looking at.
For me, it was always DC when I was a kid because I couldn't read very well. And DC had less words. I always found Marvel to be very wordy.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
So I got intimidated by that. So I learned to read better through DC Comics. And
well, like, just stay away from Chris Claremont, right?
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. That was one that intimidated the hell out of me, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
And when we're on the subject of Web of Spider-Man, I think probably my favorite issue would be number 36. And, of course, that is, for those that don't know, the first appearance of Tombstone.
Ooh.
And he's such a great villain. He's a notorious crime boss in New York. He's basically the equal to the Kingpin, only just not as well known outside of the comic book world. But if you mention him in the comic book world, people lose their minds because Tombstone is so cool.
Yeah, Lonnie Lincoln.
This albino, like, skull-looking, evil-looking motherfucker that's just, like, incredible, like, suits he's always wearing, all black usually, or pinstripes, and
so amazing, because we actually got to get some backstory on, you know, Robbie Robertson and J. Jonah Jameson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think during that time there was a really cool issue where we basically got J. Jonah's origin story as he's trying to, like, escape a pair of handcuffs because he's, like, locked in a hotel room. And, you know, right at the end, Tombstone comes in and is like, oh, you weren't trying to get away, were you?
Yeah.
And it was just really devastating, actually. I remember that as a little kid.
I think when they did the cartoon, Keith David at one point did the voice of Tombstone.
Of course.
Yeah. Which makes
why not? Sense. Of course.
And was quite amazing. I mean, Keith David. Also, I believe he did the voice in Spawn, too, if I recall.
That I would say probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's him, Tony Todd, and, you know, as far as, like, the voice actor guys.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Mark Hamill, but for different reasons.
Yes.
Mark Hamill was intimidating for a different reason. He sounded more insane than the others. The others just had that gravel, gravelly-like voice.
Mark Hamill likes to dip into that, like, mobster voice, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. You're right. Yeah. One that I want to bring up really quick. And I know that everybody's going to be like, yeah. But for me, was The Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I was younger, it was just over my head. I didn't get it. I wanted to, but I didn't. And it wasn't for me. But as a young adult, then getting into it and learning, you know, the reasons behind the artwork, behind Gibbons's work and behind Moore's aesthetic storytelling, so to speak, really worked for me and really resonated with me.
Oh, absolutely.
So I love that one. I think that one is one of the best seminal stories. Like, everybody's like, oh, you know, there's these stories you have to read. You have to read The Dark Knight Returns. You have to read Watchmen.
Yeah.
You have to read Daredevil's Run. You have to read this. You have to read that. Honestly, I could skip The Dark Knight Returns and be okay. Like, I know that's, like, sacrilege, and I can be, you know, strung up for that, but...
You're actually in good company, Donald. Go ahead, sorry.
Good. That's
well,
good
I mean, not with me. I think you're a scum, but...
thank you. Yes.
No, there's
I knew that.
Remember Daniel Klaus, 8-Ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was talking about how he's sick of, like, you know, adults here. Comics aren't for kids. And then they pick up Dark Knight Returns, and it's this stupid revenge story with this old man. And then people get turned off and never come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, shots fired. Daniel Klaus, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, those are shots fired. Jeez.
Yeah.
I
got the Dark Knight Returns in trade paperback for a Christmas gift. And I must have been like 6 or 7. And, you know, just looking through it. And yeah, like you were saying, when you were looking through it, you don't really know what you're, like, looking at. You know, everything looked muddy, but, you know, like that looks like Superman, and, you know, Superman's going through nuclear winter, and it's like, okay, and he's a skeleton now, and you don't really pick up exactly what's going on. And then, you know, going back to it again. It's there's a lot of really cool scenes in there, but yeah, it's God damn it. Miller is so. Just get it together, man. Like, I still love you, but there hasn't been anything good in kind of a long time.
Yeah. Miller, yeah. Honestly, the last time I saw Miller at a panel at Comic-Con, I thought we would be reading his obituary.
Mm.
Because he did not look good. He looked like he just looks like somebody that would be riddled with cancer. And just,
he looks like a Dick Tracy villain.
Kind of, yeah.
You know, his nose is all crooked, and it's just like he's always doing that one eye wink kind of thing.
Yeah, they should call him emaciated face or something like that. Maybe that could be
a big something crazy like name. That.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. And like, there's for example, there's stuff that that they do specifically cater to kids. So, I mean, you know, you kind of have to look for that. One of them, like Boom Comics, came out with an imprint called Boombox, which is, you know, it's cheeky because it's obviously referencing the 80s and the boombox that you would use. So kids today would really not know what the hell that meant. But
yeah.
The adults buying the books would go, oh, wow, cool. That's called Boombox. Let me pick that up. And one of them that I read was Spectre Inspectors. So basically they're ghost hunters.
Okay.
And it's drawn like in a very cutesy, almost anime-esque style. But the story's rather heavy, to be honest. It had to do with a demon possession.
This is from Boom Comics?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Just came out, I think, like, not too long ago. It's called Spectre Inspectors. And it's way heavier than it should be for children. Like, I don't know
how they sneak it in on you.
Yeah, I don't know how this got, like, if I was a kid and I read this, I would have nightmares. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I would think my sister, I'd be like, oh my God, I know now my sister's possessed. I have to exorcise her. I have to get an exorcism in here. I got to get a priest. What do I do?
That's a man. It kind of reminds me of like comics I've gone back to that I missed. Just for fun, I've been going back and getting the Marvel Comics Presents and just trying to go in order on that. And just, you know, seeing these names that kind of like did a cover here and there, or they, you know, tried their hand at writing. But, yeah, there's a couple things Eric Larson snuck in on these Marvel Comics Presents. This woman is, I think she's getting electrocuted or something, and her face is clearly like, I'm saying it without saying it, you know, and she's just saying like, it's really hard, and it's like, oh, Eric, you fucking pervert, I know what you're doing.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, if I find it, I'll send it to you. But there's a lot of commentary by Eric Larson. There's a Spider-Man story where Spider-Man at the end of the storyline is talking with Mary Jane, and he's like, why does every casual acquaintance I have turn into a supervillain? You know, why is everybody I know sucked into this life? And it's just, you know, kind of making fun of the fact that we'll do anything with anybody as long as it keeps the stories going.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get turned around with all his people at the Daily Bugle, but like her husband ended up being the Molten Man. It's like, why? How does this happen? It's way too coincidental.
Yeah, there's something whenever they, yeah, I get it. There's like a connotation there, and I totally understand that.
Yeah,
awkwardness. You know,
I remember you had mentioned that you were able to get your hands on all the old Excaliburs.
Yeah. I went to a comic shop and they had most of the run for in their 10-cent box. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, I picked up a ton of them, like at least the first 50 issues, if not more.
Wow.
Just because, you know, like I couldn't say no. But the problem lies now with me in that I'm under strict orders from everybody I know, pretty much, that like has seen where I live, that if I buy comics, I have to get rid of some comics.
No! Who are these friends?
Yeah, like all of them. It's gotten to that point where like if you go to set down your glass, I give you something to drink, and I was like, oh yeah, just sit there on those Spider-Mans over there.
Yeah. Oh wow, you know? Okay.
Like, you want to sit down over here on the Superman chair? It's literally just made out of Superman books. You know? it's
a good
like
problem
that.
To have.
Yeah, it's like that. So I totally understand it, and I've accepted it, and I'm not arguing against it. It's just people need to stop having sales, you know, like in good deals.
Well, do you get around to reading them? Did you flip through them, or it's on your, like, perpetual to-do stack?
I read probably 10% of what I buy.
Yeah, that's the real problem. That's the problem that nobody's talking about.
Yeah. Well, also the problem is that I found out that there's library apps that you can use to just read them for free. And then you don't even have to open them. So now, like, I'm blowing through the whole entire run of Chew because I can read it for free and I don't have to buy every single issue. So it's good in that manner of speaking.
Yeah.
But I'm not reading the other books that I'm buying because I'm reading that.
It's
a catch-22. And then sometimes, like, you'll get into a mood and you're like, should I read tonight or what should I do? No, there's something cool on TV I want to watch. So then next, you know, I'll do it.
Yeah, it just gets pushed back.
Yeah. And it just keeps pushing back.
I didn't have the luck you had with, you know, getting this 10-cent gold mine. But, you know, I picked up a lot of those Excaliburs, like, on a lark and read them. Like, I have one through about 20, I believe.
Okay.
And they're written by Chris Claremont, which is already kind of, like, kind of dicey because it's not fun.
Right.
Really necessarily to read. But the Alan Davis artwork is amazing. And in the first, like, 10 or so issues, like, there's pinups on the back of the comic. So you're not getting, like, you know, an advertisement, you're getting a nice Alan Davis drawing of the characters.
Yeah, he really put a lot of time and effort into that series. And I think they really wanted it to succeed. They had probably a lot of trouble at first trying to figure out how to do that because they were using characters that were not popular at all, really.
Yeah, and the fact they tried to shoehorn it into the X universe when it's, you know, EX Excalibur. But if you get around to reading it, it's very telling because, like, I see a side of Nightcrawler I wasn't really aware of. Mm-hmm. He's pining over the character Megan, and she is with Captain Britain. So it's kind of like Nightcrawler as, like, you know, that guy that pretends to be your friend but really kind of, you know, wants to be with you romantically.
Yeah.
And I don't like seeing Nightcrawler like that because, you know, Nightcrawler is like one of the dudes, you know?
Yeah. I could totally see Nightcrawler as being like that guy that's like, oh, I really want to, well, you know, I want to be with you, but I can't. you know, he's got that that Catholic guilt or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, if your boyfriend not treat you good.
Right, yeah. Why don't you come my way, Fräulein? I'll take
good. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank God that we had that X-Men cartoon pilot, so we know what his voice is.
Yeah, exactly. And Wolverine's
Australian,
yeah, of course. And at one point, Professor Xavier's legs actually move in the animation, which is great.
Oh, I gotta rewatch that.
I was like, he had a twitch. This is awesome. Like, it's so cool. If
that's you want one of those, like, movies that would be like verbatim that you would watch as a little kid.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And like Pride of the X-Men. And when you found it, it was like, what is this? You know? And then nothing else came after it, but it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
For pound, though, my favorite cover with Nightcrawler on it would be, and this is going to be a weird one, The Saga of Crystar, Crystal Warrior, number 6.
I'm going to have to look that up.
You have to look it up. Or I can send you the picture. I have the picture. I'll just send it to you.
Okay, yeah. We'll do a trading after this.
Yeah. It is the coolest thing. It says the name of the book on top, and then in the left-hand corner, you know, it has a little Marvel logo with Crystar on it, the Crystal Warrior. And in the bottom left, instead of being, you know, it says direct edition, it just has that white picture of, like, Spider-Man in the corner, like in a white box.
Yeah.
And in the middle, it's like all green with like some stars in the background, like shining. And in the middle, it has Nightcrawler bamfing like into nowhere. It's like he's just falling, and it has this bamf cloud around him. And you see him kind of all fours up in the air, you know, his arms and his legs, and he's just
falling. Falling.
Yeah. And it looks so cool. It's
wow. That sounds like existential dread right there.
Yeah, it's the coolest Nightcrawler issue I've ever seen. So it's definitely worth grabbing if you get a chance.
I will check that out. I think my, just the one that pops out to me for Nightcrawler is, I think it's a Spider-Man issue where they're having some sort of battle in the air. And I think it's around a roller coaster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm blanking on what comic. I mean, it's probably a Spider-Man comic, honestly, but hopefully this isn't my childhood just filling in the gaps on something. But
I know there's one with Nightcrawler, like, it's not a roller coaster, but it's like one of those cable cars.
That's probably it, yes.
And I think that's the first appearance of, what's his name? His face is all, like, stitched up in different various ways.
Oh, yes, Jigsaw.
Jigsaw, thank you. Yeah, first appearance of Jigsaw, I think, is in that issue.
That sounds right, actually.
Yes, that's a really cool one.
Yeah, it's a good cover.
Yeah. Another one I just found recently was a really cool cover was Amazing Spider-Man 308, which has, I think it's McFarlane art.
Oh, it would have to be, right?
Yeah, and he's got, like, the Taskmaster on the ground in a cemetery. He's, like, you know, pulling on him, and the Taskmaster's, like, over it, and he's like, just leave me alone. And it looks just, Spider-Man looks so menacing and dark and cool, and it's just a really well-done cover for an issue.
I mean, it's such a shame that Todd McFarlane never, like, really picked up the pencil again. But yeah, when you're making $1 billion off one character, I guess, you know, all's well that ends well.
Yeah, and if you watch his videos of, like, his toy releases, the dude is so excited about toys now.
Mm.
Like, that's obviously where his real love is. Like, he did, he was in love with art and in drawing, and then at some point he fell out of love with that and fell in love with like, figure making.
I always liked McFarlane because he was one of the first comic book guys to break through in a way. Remember when Leifold had the, like, 501 jeans commercials?
Yeah. Yes. Well,
Todd McFarlane was in People magazine, and my mom read People magazine, and there's, like, a black and white photo of him and a guy in a Spider-Man costume just kind of, like, hanging out together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, my mom's reading it is like, hey, look at that, you know, because I'm in that world. But it was just like, wow.
Yeah. You know, hey, he's in People magazine. Look, there's stuff. I'm reading it.
Yeah, that's me, Mom.
Yeah, that's great, Mom. Thank you. One of my favorite things now with my parents is that when I was younger, my dad used to call them commie books. And I just think he thought it was funny. He was like, uh-huh. I was like, Dad, can you take me to the shop? And he's like, you want to get some of those comic books, those commie books, son?
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, Dad, those comic books. I want to get some of those. And he's like, okay. You know, and he'd still take me to the shop and stuff. But he just found it to be hilarious. And I have no idea why. I think
that's just where he thinks he's pulling one over on you. But you're just like, you know, something's up. But like, it's just path of least resistance would just be yes.
Yeah.
So you can go to the store.
Right. Just accept it and move on.
Your dad seems like a real sweetheart, by the way, just off topic. Very supportive, right?
Yes, completely. My dad and my mom are very supportive of my career choices and choices in life in general, which is nice. It's very nice. They're very lovely people.
I meant to mention when you were saying you had nowhere to sit down. The reason I can, like, have a bunch of comics is basically two rooms in my mom's house have just been hijacked by my comic book collection. So they're able to be, like, kind of shuttered away out of, you know, prying eyes, you know, behind their Mylar coffins.
Right.
And yeah. If I had nice to have to all have my shit.
Family close, you know, that's within the same state. For me, that's not the case. So aside from having to ship a bunch of stuff home, you know, and I left my collection in Ohio when I left.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a collection there up until I was in my 20s. And then I have a collection here now, which I've accumulated for the past, 10, 15 years.
Oh, man.
So I have, like, the same amount of collections at both places. You put all that together, it is a mountain of books. And it is, like, I have also have taken two rooms upstairs. Those were the bedrooms for the kids. And my sisters moved out, and when they moved out, I went, good, more room for books. Then I just expanded.
I had everything set up where I'm like a writer guy. So I had all, like, my Millers separated, you know, my Peter Davids, my Warren Ellis's, my Garth Ennis's. And now I'm like, God, it'd be just so much easier to just have everything in alphabetical order. And now I feel like, what have I wrought? Like, putting all this in order.
Mm-hmm.
It's way too much that I had to separate it between Marvel, DC, and now I'm going to have to do Marvel, DC, and Independent because I can't. It's just too much. It's too much to put all of it in one place. It's just impossible. But YOLO, no looking back now.
Right.
I'll just sit there for another few months and maybe I'll get to it and do this and that.
Yeah, I got I did the app thing too. I got that. What is that app called?
I had CLZ.
Yeah.
And then it lapsed, and then I didn't want to pay money again because I had already given them money.
Uh huh.
And that was, I'm not the most tech savvy, so maybe there's an easy fix on it that I just don't know. But I was a little spurned by that.
I didn't like the fact that my friend got in on CLZ before they made it a monthly or like a yearly subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And once you purchased it, you owned it. So he paid $15 to own it, and he has it for life. And I have to pay $15 a year. So, like, everybody was like, just do it. Don't be a cheap ass. And I was like, well, if I do this for 10 years, it's $150. you know how many comic books I can buy for, you know what I mean? I like
perspective
went into that,
right?
Yeah. And people don't think about that. So I was like, I don't want to do this. So I looked at other apps, and other apps are nowhere near like the quality of CLZ. There's a few that are close, like, and I mean close as in like they're 1/10 as advanced.
Yeah.
But they have some similar capabilities. So my thought was, I will rent CLZ for a year. I'll get all my comic books scanned, and then I will download the database because they say you can.
Yes.
And I'll save that and then put it on one of these other apps and then just use that app for storage. Because some of these apps you can just purchase outright still. So I'll purchase one of these outright and then put that in there for storage.
Yeah, and just kind of make do.
And then if I want to do CLZ, I can again. But, you know, I can wait a while and then do that again if I feel like it. That's the thought. But then again, I got told I'm a cheap ass and that just tell somebody that I want a Apple gift card for my birthday and somebody will buy me a gift card and then I just use that and then I have another year. I was like, well, I guess if you wanted to do that, I could probably do that, but still, you know, it's a lot of work.
So far,
I've scanned over 2,000 books, and I started like back in September or October, and I'm only at that point. And that's only because I've taken like half of November off, all of December, all of January, all of February.
It's so mind-numbing, though. It's like. You literally feel like you're wasting your life.
And that you're overwhelmed. That's the other thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Complete. That is the word, overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And the way CLZ like has its, like, it is so expansive that it has all the variants. And you see some of these issues getting to like, you know, AJ, you know, because it already went through the first 26 of the covers. It's madness.
Yeah.
It's madness.
Yeah. Some guy actually just yesterday offered me, he said he'll pay me 10 cents a book that I scan to come and scan his collection.
Okay, do that.
And I was like, I think that's a better deal than just doing my own. So,
yeah, dude, that'll stack up so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, wow.
I do 10 books. That's a buck. I was like,
this
all
is
right.
This is like Kramer in Seinfeld. You're just falling ass backwards into money.
Yeah. This guy doesn't know what he was doing. Like what he was
dude,
saying,
you got to do it.
Like, I'm totally going to do this. I'll scan
you. Give him a day's worth of work and have him hand you $1,000 and we'll see what's what.
Yeah. Yeah. Then he's going to be like, oh,
never mind.
Yeah. I'll do the rest myself.
Yeah. And they never will.
Right. 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 And then I'll just go out and spend that money on comics.
There you go. So, hey, are you reading stuff?
Yeah.
Are you reading like stuff that comes out monthly?
Yes. Yes. I started that Spectre Inspectors and very much enjoyed it.
I'm going to check that out.
Some things I went back and I found and I started to read, and I don't know if they're still going, but I've just been like reading them as I can find the issues. And one of them is Reaver. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's by Image Comics and it's by Justin Jordan, did the story.
That sounds familiar with that guy anyway.
It's like a sword and sorcery kind of thing where they have to go into enemy territory, this band of like misfits. That it's basically a what I would call a Dungeons and Dragons Suicide Squad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you're sending a band of like sword and sorcery misfits into the other realm to take out like their leader, and if you get killed or get caught, they'll disavow any knowledge of you ever being sent. Like you actually, they made it seem like they escaped.
Ye old Black Ops.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So it's just a really old school story, but told in an even older time. And it's really cool. I'm very much enjoying it as I read it.
I don't read a lot of monthlies anymore. Like, I'll pick up Daredevil. I just follow the writers I like. But there was that new universe that got started by Straczynski. Did you pick up any Resistance?
Ooh, wait.
It's called The Resistance.
Is it recently that he did that? The Cup of
Joe? Yeah, it's the name of the company is AWA.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah,
no.
It's I'm kind of dipping into them a little bit. I like some of the artists, but I feel like that's why I'm jumping so much into like the older stuff, like, you know, Quasar. I never bothered to read that because he looks so goofy. You know, even as a little kid, I never read Quasar.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can get like all the Quasars for like $2 cover price, if not less. So, like, that's one that I'm going back to and rereading. Yeah. A lot of Grunwald stuff.
Quasar's a good one, by the way. Quasar and Omega the Unknown. I feel those two guys are coming. Like, they're going to be either Guardians of the Galaxy or Thor or something. These guys are coming at some point. So if you want to read the Quasar series in the 90s, get them while they're cheap, while you can still get them for a quarter or 50 cents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Grab as
it.
Many as you can and collect the whole thing, just like Darkhawk. Collect the whole 90s run. Otherwise, when this stuff hits, you're not going to be able to afford it.
Do you remember the Spawn knockoff for a little bit? It was called like Nightwatch, or it looked just like Spawn. It was like 11 issues.
Exactly like Spawn.
Yes. I wanted to get my hand on those from one of my go-to comic shops, but I can only get like 2 issues.
At one point, there was a rumor that he was going to have an appearance in one of the Spider-Man films. And then they were going to try to branch him off and do his own thing. That was like literally a thing that happened probably like within the last 5 years. So I pulled out all my old Nightwatch comics that I had, and I sold them for like $30. Like,
okay, I think you came up.
Yeah. I did really well because it didn't happen, and they're back to being worth nothing again. So,
yeah,
you know, Marvel's the king of like 10-issue runs.
Yeah, Sleepwalker. I think that made it more than 10, but just those like offbeat characters that really get kind of a lot of a push.
Yeah,
like Sleepwalker really shouldn't have stuck around as long as it did.
And Sleepwalker is rumored now to be another big one that's coming. So
no way, Sleepwalker?
Yes, yeah. There's a lot of people speculating on these things. Man, so Sleepwalker number one is now a $20 key book, like minor key book.
That cool cover.
Yeah, so if you can pick it up, highly recommend to pick it up, especially if it's cheap. Also, I think it's Marvel Age number 100, which is his actual technically true first appearance because it's like a preview, like a five-page preview or something of Sleepwalkers. So
I love that you're so plugged into all this, like, you know, comings and goings on whatnot. That's pretty cool.
You have to be. I mean, within this field, you know, if you're going to talk comics, you got to know them. And that's the thing. Like, I thought about, you know, well, what do I want to do a podcast on? And I was like, well, I love movies. I can do a podcast on movies. And to a point, we do. We do talk a lot about movies.
But yeah,
more about those in the live YouTube podcast that we do pretty much every Monday.
I feel happy when I can catch those. Those are a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're real fun. We have a good time doing it. And the reason why we wanted to do those differently is because we felt we could. You know, we could open up our audience to new people that might not just be into comic books, mm-hmm. but like the films and things that are inspired from comic books. So I thought, why not branch out and do stuff like that? It became something to where, you know, even audience participation became a big thing for us. So getting people involved now, if I don't mention somebody's name, sometimes they'll like later, like a couple weeks later, they'll hit me up and they'll be like, hey, man, so I was on a podcast and I didn't see you didn't mention my name. And I just wanted to let you know that, you know, and I'm like, oh, sorry, I didn't mention your name, you know.
Whoa. So
people actually look forward to that kind of thing. And that's nice. You know, that's nice to hear because.
But you don't want to feel beholden. I mean, you still have a show you got to put out.
Oh, yeah. Obviously. And you know, I tell them.
Well, I hope they're understanding it, I guess what I'm saying.
They all are. They're all sweethearts. Nobody's nobody's coming after me. And they're not.
yeah, know, that's not right.
Hate mail to my mom or anything like that. I'm fine. But yeah.
Okay.
But it's fun.
Shout out to Jarrett.
Yeah. Jarrett, also in our comic book fan group, the Palookas.
Love you, Jarrett.
And Kevin Myth, who's in there in the comic group, he usually just posts about the podcast and he'll comment occasionally here and there. But I think Jarrett and I are probably the most active out of the four of us in that group.
Yeah, Four Horsemen, you, Jarrett, O'Neill, Nathan's in there somewhere. I'm kind of a satellite guy. This is a lot of fun. It's what makes Facebook fun.
It is. Yes, it's absolutely. Probably the only reason why I have Facebook, other than the fact that at one point I did what I called the foot files, where I just took pictures of my feet with different things. Like one time, one foot was painting the other foot while it was passed out drunk. like another time, one of my toes was wrapped in cellophane and had a rubber band around it, and I called it asphyxiation, you know, stuff like that.
Well, if you put some nail polish on those, I know a guy that can give you some money for those things.
I was told about that, actually. So I was like, huh. But yeah, so I do stuff like that just for fun, you know, like to, yeah. And it started to really annoy some of my friends, and to the point where they were like, I'm going to unfollow you. And I was like, this is great. So, you know, I like doing stuff like that to annoy people and to have fun and just be silly. But also, I like being in that group. It's a lot of fun on Facebook. Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to kind of cultivate. We have a new Facebook group now that I'm starting called Friends of the Real Short Box. And it's going to be very similar to the Palookas. Basically, it's just going to be like a group where you can go in and you can talk smack and you can have a good time. You can talk about the podcast, or you can talk about anything you want, like a movie coming up or anything. And
Donald, you're so plugged in. Do you have all of the apps, all of the streaming apps?
As far as like for film?
Yeah.
I have most of them. Yeah. 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 I just got the HBO one, HBO Max, 2 weeks ago, I think, a week or 2 weeks ago. I have, of course, the Hulu and the Disney Plus, Netflix.
I'll have to get you on my Shudder account. I'll have to figure out what the next step is on that. But yeah, if you, because that's like a goldmine of just like old 80s horror and just, I don't know if you're really much of a horror guy, but
some of it, yeah, some of it I love. Like slasher flicks, you can count me out. Like I'm out the door. which is funny because it brings me to my next book, which is Maniac of New York, which I've been reading here lately. And it's by Elliot Kalin, Andrea Muti, and Taylor.
I've heard of him.
And it's basically a Jason story in a way, but told from the perspective of the detectives.
Say the title again.
Maniac of New York.
Maniac. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and it's by Aftershock Comics, by the way.
Okay.
And it's fantastic. And I'm going to recommend that if you do want to read it, grab a copy of issue 1 and 2 and whatever else when it comes out, like as soon as you can, because I think this property is going to get sold is what it's.
Okay.
It's just begging for a film or a TV series, to be honest.
Right up my alley.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you like horror, then you'll definitely like that. And it's funny because it is a slasher book in a way. Just told a little differently, and I don't mind reading slasher horror and stuff, but watching it is a totally different thing for me.
All right, a discussion for another time, because that has me very curious.
Yeah. Yeah, real quick then, mention, since we've just been talking about stuff that has really not a lot to do specifically with what we had set out to do, which is fine, because this happens a lot in the podcast world. We kind of branch out and we start discussing things that are relevant to other things and other things, and I love that. I love the fluidity about that, and that's why I like podcasts so much. But real quick, one other title of books that you circle back around to, just mention one real quick.
Well, it's a bunch of titles. It was a 19-part series in the early 90s called Operation Galactic Storm.
Oh, geez.
And I've kind of been re-going through that. It's Captain America, Avengers, Quasar. But, I mean, if you remember the time, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing of Operation Desert Storm, which was our thing in Kuwait.
Yeah.
I'm not politically knowledgeable enough to know exactly how this all fits in, because I don't really understand that time that much in the first place. But that has been my my white whale, as it were, you know, tracking down all those 19 issues between, like, you know, my three comic book stores I go to for back issues, just trying to get the whole tapestry.
Yeah, that's a good one. That actually reminds me of Operation Desert Storm. They actually made trading cards for that.
Yes, they did.
And
yes, they
I found the complete set at Big Lots they were selling. And I purchased them because I think they were like $2 each. And I was like, oh, well, these might be worth something someday. They weren't.
Yeah, that was a weird time.
At a weird time, a weird thing for them to do, to make trading cards of that. I think that was another way to hype up the war. And it you know, it kind of makes sense in a way, but it's also a very weird way to do it.
Yes.
And real quick, Galactic Storm, when you're reading that, was that what got you into Quasar then?
I was reading the Quasars already, and by issue 25 or 25, 30, somewhere around there, is when it started up.
Okay.
So, like, the Quasar issue I have is, I think, part 4, and then after that, it's, like, part 14. So, you know, I'm not getting that exactly right, but I was like, oh, all right, well, if I'm going to read this, I should get down all these other issues. And, you know, that's kind of like Spider-Man swing between the buildings. You know, I have all this other stuff I need to pick up now. You know, it reignited my love of Captain America by Grunewald. You know, when he had Diamondback, that sexy chick with the pink hair and crossbones. Right. Like, I love that era of Captain America. So I'm, you know, working towards re-looking at those again.
Just wait till you get to the run where he loses his powers and then he has to get into a robotic suit. And then Jack Flag or something like that, I think his name was, comes around and he's like the grifter of the Captain America world because Grifter was hot from, I think it was Wildcats at the time.
Oh, yeah. Nomad.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Yeah.
There's Nomad. There's Jack Flag.
I got Cap Wolf coming up around the corner.
Ooh, yeah, that's a fun one. I love Cap Wolf.
It's a lot of good stuff.
Streets of Poison.
Grunewald was really underrated. And like he did a lot of good work.
Yeah, he did a lot of fun stuff. So Cap was fun for a reason. And that, and like I avoided Cap and Iron Man and Thor when I was a kid.
I avoided Thor and Iron Man for sure.
They just seemed boring to me.
They just seemed so dry.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd be like, nah. Spider-Man I would dabble in every so often. Fantastic Four, yeah. You know, like, they were doing some stuff that was pretty good back then. So I liked that.
Thor was always so, like, untenable because of the way they talk.
Yeah.
Like, it's just hard to, like, really sit down and read that. And then Iron Man, you always have, like, the crappy, you know, interface, you know, panels.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, the suit integrity is down to 2%. It's like, how many times can we do this? You know, it's so boring. Yeah,
exactly. Also, what was it? It was with the demon from DC Comics.
Oh, yes. The rhyming.
Yes. Like, you just felt like you were going insane reading a book.
You know, you need to pick up the when Garth Ennis started doing it.
Oh, I have. I think I have that entire run. I just never read
those. Those were a lot of fun. Those are ones I think of quite a bit.
Yeah, because Alan Grant, I think, started the run.
Yeah.
And then Ennis picked up and took over after a certain point.
Alan Grant, I feel like, never really fulfilled his destiny in a way.
Agreed.
Like, I feel like he never had anything really good.
He was working towards it. You know, he did a lot of Batman. He did a lot of DC in general.
Yeah, he did the RoboCop Marvel series. And, you know, as a kid reading the RoboCop, I'm like, oh, so this is going to be in the next movie? And then it's just nonsense. It's just garbage.
Yeah, some of that.
He did a bunch of the Lobos.
Some of the Marvel. Yeah, he did. That's right. Yeah, he did a ton of Lobos. A ton of Lobos. Like, all the, like, miniseries before the regular one.
Yeah.
I remember that. All that 90s love that Lobo got.
They're a hard read, I got to be honest.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, some of them. I mean, like, the infanticide, I think, is what it was called. I couldn't get into that. That was
that artwork was so horrendous, too.
I think that was Keith Giffen, was it not?
It was, yeah. It's like, I think I like Keith Giffen as, you know, a plotter for JLA.
Yep.
I don't really need him as an artist.
Yeah, I'm with you there. He can, actually, he does a very good job of imitating Kirby, if you can believe it. He did that for Omega the Unknown because they did an Omega series where Dan Didio or however the hell you pronounce that guy's name.
Oh, yes, you're right. Yes.
He did the
story. That was for the New 52.
And then Giffen did the art. And I was like, wow, like he's really doing his best to imitate Kirby and actually doing a really good job of it. So maybe he should just do that from now on.
Yeah, well, he said the Lobo thing was a parody, you know, that just kind of got away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lobo is supposed to be a joke character that you're supposed to hate, but, you know, all us idiots in the early 90s were like, whoa, this guy's badass.
Well, he's
was
a like,
biker?
When he first appeared in Omega Man number 3, I believe it was, he had, like, different colored patches of clothes on him that looked like a leotard.
Yeah.
He looked like an idiot. I was amazed that something actually ever came of him. Like, he's one of those characters where they should say, thank God, like, somebody had the inspiration to change this. Like,
oh, yeah.
How did this get made? How did he get changed? Like, you know, like, there's a story there that I don't know that I want to know.
That's a good point. Yeah, because I'm aware of that cover. The Omega Man cover, right?
Yeah.
It's him, central, and he's, like, on a bike.
Yep. Yeah. And he's got like somebody hanging underneath him or some shit.
Yeah, and then he turned into like the Kiss, you know, the band Kiss, biker, cigar smoking sociopath.
Yeah, what the frag do you want? That was his
yes, frag. Yes.
yeah, I'm going to frag you. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, he's almost saying fuck, but not really. This is cool. I could say frag off to my parents and not get in trouble. Guess what?
Dang, Donald, you cracked the code.
Yeah, I still got in trouble. They were like, don't you pretend curse at us. And I was like, shoot.
Shoot?
What'd you say? I said, shoot. Yeah, that's not allowed either.
Dude, that's my younger brother's name is Cody. So whenever like somebody get in trouble would always the parents would forget which one they're talking to, so it'd be like Co-Aleb, Coyote, and just have to like fix it.
Yeah. They'll Shoot. Fix it in post.
Yeah, exactly.
I never had that. I had two older sisters, so that never happened.
And were they D names?
Yeah, well, my oldest was, but oldest sister, but she's 12 years older than me, so I don't think there was.
Oh yeah, that there's not going to be a lot of crossover
mixing up. Yeah, by the time I was like 7, she was already out of the house. You
gotcha.
Know? Okay. Yeah, she was like, "I'm out. Peace." Yeah. Well, Caleb, this has been an absolute pleasure. Had a great time discussing these stories with you, and just talking in general. And I hope everybody that's listening also enjoys this. So thank you for being on, Caleb.
Likewise, I'm sure it was pretty scatterbrained, but it was fun for sure.
So, yeah.
Thank you again.
Yeah. Everybody, I hope that you enjoy it. And, if you don't, we'll have another podcast up in a week and you should enjoy that one. But, thanks for tuning in. We do have a live podcast, like I said earlier, on, the Facebook or on the YouTube page, Rumble Spoon Productions. It is called The Real Short Box. We do that live podcast there under Rumble Spoon's page on YouTube. And, we do that every Monday. Usually sometimes we take a week off or two. But we have a lot of live content that we do on there, and you can vote and just listen in and chat and stuff. And it's a really good time. So, if we can see you there, if you want to subscribe to us on there on our YouTube channel, that'd be great. We are also on a multitude of the streaming platforms for audio podcasts. So we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Spreaker, and Blueberry, just a multitude of others that we're on. And if you can't find us on one, shoot us a message on our Instagram page, on our Facebook page, or on our Twitter page. Let us know, and we'll make it a mission to get on that podcast platform for you. But with that, my name is Donald with special guest Caleb. Thank you for being on again.
Thank you again, Donald.
And Caleb, perhaps sometime soon, if everything goes well, I will see you at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.